D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are, of course, proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we are live at Ascent Buildings at 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. They are interviewing and hiring on the spot today until 3 p.m., welders, fitters, machine operators, material handlers. If you're looking for work, this is the place to find it. Again, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland.
They've got a food truck here as well. They got a lot of nice people, so come on by. You can meet D-Mace.
Yeah.
So people have come specifically to meet D-Mace today.
That is the power. That is the power that Derek Mason wields. But joining us, as always, on Wednesday, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I would love to ask you about NFL draft coverage, because the one thing that we have noticed over the past several days, and we saw it live during the first round of the NFL draft, it was like the Tennessee Titans select Cam Ward. Okay, that's great. Let's talk Shedeur Sanders for the next 10 minutes. It really does feel like Cam Ward has been the most undercovered, least covered, number one overall draft pick in quite some time. What have you just made of how the selection of Cam Ward has been covered nationally?
I can't describe it. It's a great question. It's a deep dive study. It's a thesis to me. I mean, Eric Fisher, is that the offensive lineman's name from like 15 years ago?
He was covered. He went to Kansas City.
Yep. He was the number one pick. He was covered more. And I think why I'm saying it's crazy. It's a quarterback. Cam Ward is a Heisman Trophy finalist. You have a story that is made for TV. He starts at Incarnate Word after running a wing T offense. Incarnate Word to Washington State is graded out, is told he's a third or fourth round pick last year, 12 months ago. Now he's the number one overall pick. It's not about the Titans in the market. The Jaguars have had the number one pick several times, and the number one pick has been covered thoroughly. I don't look at it as a slap in the face to the fan base. I do it for Cam Ward. I mean, the Shedeur thing, it is a massive story. I understand why the networks covered it. For all the conspiracy theorists out there, ESPN loves Shedeur. So does the NFL loves the ratings. They can't stop talking about the ratings, but they couldn't stop talking about Shedeur Sanders instead of Cam. It was a foregone conclusion who the pick was going to be. And as the story progressed with Shedeur, it became more definitive about Cam Ward. If you think about the exact opposite of whatever's coming out on Sanders, Cam Ward has crushed it on the decisions that he's made. He went back to NIL in Miami, becomes a Heisman finalist, sets records for the NCAA. Then he goes to the draft process and has handled that perfectly, beautifully, with how he's approached the interviews, the questions about being on the board. I mean, that's clear. The Titans met him in February for the first time, and they are dead set and convinced, we've all heard from them, that he's the face of the franchise and the face that's going to usher them into this new stadium, which they care deeply about. So I say all that to me, I don't get it. I mean, they mentioned his name. But given the position, I mean, it's not like an offensive lineman here. And then Travis Hunter is right on. I mean, you talk about Deion and primetime and the whole brand. Travis Hunter is right there, number two, and the Jags trade for him, and we're still discussing Shedeur to the Giants. I understand why you're mentioning the quarterback, but they bypassed another quarterback who went number one overall.
I want to stay on this topic because I saw a tweet thread from Kevin Van Valkenburg, who used to work for ESPN. He now has a website, I believe, called No Laying Up. I believe it's a golf website. But it was a fascinating tweet because I find the Shedeur Sanders story to be much more fascinating as a media story than just a football story. And this is what Van Valkenburg tweeted. Quote, football aside, the Shedeur Sanders thing is a fascinating media story. I guess that's where I came up with that just now. Sanders willed himself into the role of main character. Media ate it up, played along, agreed he was the story. Reality didn't jibe with the story. Now the narrative is, why isn't reality what we said it was? Tomorrow the story will be, here's what Stephen A. and Pat McAfee think about the story. that's already unfolding. And oh, by the way, throw President Trump in there too, because he posted about it. Eventually, the story will pivot to, can Shador silence the haters and live up to the original story? We have been searching for a new Tim Tebow and finally found one. It gets to play out similarly as part of not only the football media industrial complex, but also the culture wars. It's like watching someone reboot a beloved TV show from your childhood. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's more, to me, it's more Johnny Manziel than Tim Tebow. With the passion behind why you're doing, I mean, look, there are media members that are mentioning the name because you'll get clicks and they'll get coverage. I do think the media covers the media way too much. I think Kuiper was embarrassed. That's why he had the reaction that he did. But everyone got this wrong. I don't know of anyone who said fifth round pick for Shador. I don't know the lowest you guys have seen Shador prior to the draft on the overall board, just best player available. I think the lowest for me was like 35. I think Dane Brugler had him low. That's the lowest I saw. So it's not like it was just Kuiper missed. And I mean, it's hard to miss on the number one overall pick, like where that's going to be. And that's where Kuiper had him. It's crazy how everyone's fixated on one player. And honestly, the entire draft was zeroed around four players. The entire time, we were talking four players and four teams. And that's also unusual, but the ratings were there, so that's what we get. We get the cycle of more pop culture magazine than what's taking place on the field. But, I mean, even so, it's not like Schefter or Rappaport came out with any reports during this process about how Shador was so awful in interviews. That would get out if it was that bad. So I don't think it was awful, but it wasn't good. That's clear. It's obvious that it wasn't good. But I mean, a team did draft him. I still don't know why the Browns circled back and drafted him after taking the quarterback where they did. Gabriel was rated as like a fifth, or the agent for Gabriel said we were just praying that he would be drafted in the fifth or sixth round. Browns took him in the third. I mean, that's how they viewed Shador. The whole thing's crazy in the storyline. Meanwhile, I mean, I don't know Cam Ward's father's name. Like, again, it's the opposite of what was fueling the eyeballs and the clicks. And I mean, again, I've been talking Shador this week a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it is fascinating how we cover it versus what we don't.
It may die down a little bit now, Hutton, because we're past the draft, but once rookie minicamp starts, what's going to be on the A block of every single debate show?
Well, there's going to be Shador Sanders.
Well, hey, Bronny James in the summer league. Schedule release is coming out, and then at the schedule release, that's when they'll have Shador back, and you'll have all these different things, and like he's battling for the starting job now in Cleveland. I mean, it'll continue, and who knows what Deion will say? You know, they will continue to fuel that.
Well, I mean, if you look at this, because I think there have been, three or four polarizing individuals within the last, two decades. I think Ryan Leaf may be on the edge of that. He was a polarizing figure when he came out. It was between he and Peyton Manning. You move further on. You look at Johnny Manziel. You look at Tim Tebow, and now it's Shador Sanders. If you look at all these individuals, the draft became about them for whatever reason. Tebow, because of the more so of the him being a leader in the religious aspect. You look at Johnny Manziel, the partying, the dollar signs, this and that. He falls, and then you look at Shador Sanders, and it's sort of the same thing, but with those two, you didn't have as much parental interaction that you had in this case. Now, we can go back to the Mannings, but I'm not going to even take it there because we know how all that went. But I just think in those three or four stories, the NFL latched on to what would garner more eyes to the TV. And Ryan Leaf and that whole Peyton Manning thing did, obviously the Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, and now Shador Sanders. So you've had at least three guys within the last two decades that have basically taken over the draft.
But I totally agree with you. The weird thing, though, Mace, is the storyline that would have crushed ratings is that he sucks in interviews. And it didn't get out until the day before the draft. Through an anonymous source. That's what's so odd to me. Because, I mean, think about this. We know where it ended the day before the draft. Mm-hmm. Go back to the East-West game, the Shrine Bowl. The NFL put out a memo that if you're attending these all-star games, that you need to practice during the week. Well, Shador didn't practice. And there was that headline that, oddly, and again, I don't buy this, that the Titans, the Giants, and the Browns asked him not to practice that week. What? But then come to find out he already decided a week before that he wasn't going to practice or work out on that Saturday. Again, there were some things there. You know, the Titans end up not even wanting to work him out privately. That's the whole thing's weird. And you mentioned Tebow and Johnny Manziel and Johnny Football. I agree, but those dudes are Heisman winners.
Yeah,
like there's obvious award-winning talent there.
But a circus still followed the each one.
But there was a lot of question of would the skills translate, yeah. Right? That to me is also
right.
Unique and very unique type of college players, right? Manziel and Tebow weren't your classic
traditional
pro style quarterback. They had very unique traits, right?
I think
Shador had some of that.
Mm-hmm. I thought we would hear more from Deion too. I we didn't really. I mean, we heard some, but not a ton. That's the other thing. It wasn't like he was dictating this publicly.
He felt like he was early on because he gave those podcasts interviews where he would say, "We're going to pull
November.
An Eli. We're going to pull an Eli." Right. So that was in the middle of the football season. But through this process, he has been pretty quiet. I feel like
there's a way to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen that before. They could obviously pull that if they want to, but they overplayed their hand and totally overvalued whatever they thought was going to happen. They didn't have an agent representing them during the draft. I mean, again, it's to each his own there. I mean, neither did Lamar Jackson. But, you know, again, we're talking about a first-round pick compared to a fifth. That's the thing. He's better than a fifth-round pick. I think we all agree there. That's what's so damning in this situation is that he just kept falling. I mean, it's the NFL spoke there, and there's always a dumb owner or general manager that overdrafts the quarterback. The Browns did in the third round with Dylan Gabriel, and they still passed on Shador with everybody talking about him.
Now, going to another topic here, still football, yeah. Hutt. We had a conversation briefly yesterday about the whole Quinn Ewers situation and him, you know, coming out and whatever, you know, information they gave them, you know, it must not been correct or they just didn't care, because if I knew coming out that I was going to be a fifth, sixth round draft pick and I had another year of college to up my stock, I tend to go back, especially now with NIL. You look at the young lady, Olivia Miles, I believe that's her name, out of Notre Dame. She chose to go back, and she would have been a high pick, but she chose because she was getting more money NIL in college than she would have, you know, entering into the WNBA. Do you think we'll start to see a trend now where these young men and women are starting to stay back another year, because not only am I projected to be drafted low, but the money here in college is still more than I wouldn't have got in my rookie contract?
Yeah, I think that's what Cam Ward did, you know, with his grade last year when he dipped his toe in the waters and then went to Miami and made more. And again, he made the right call. He went from a third or fourth round projection to a number one overall pick. He did a great job. It's an amazing story. I think with Quinn Ewers, Mace, it is about the injury history with him. That dude has taken a lot of hits already, and he's been banged up a lot at Texas. And I think that was a strategy to, we could be drafted versus another big injury. He's probably undrafted and has no chance of going to a team with a chance to compete. Think about some of the injuries he's had, the abdominal injury he had last year. And prior to that, other issues with the shoulder, the ankle, and injuries that kept him out of games where he tried to stay in. But I think that's more, I think it's more medical that we don't know with him, because otherwise, I mean, he goes and makes a lot of money. Quinn Ewers makes a lot of money in the transfer portal, a ton. And I mean, I think he's up there with where we would put, you know, the top paid quarterbacks right now. I mean, look what Duke's paying.
And I believe the,
I'm with you, but I think this is a circumstance that's worse than just NIL.
I believe the report was at his draft slot, Quinn Ewers could make $4.3 million over 4 years if he had entered the portal.
That's if he stays in the league for 4 years.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
If he had entered the portal and stayed college for another year, he's probably making upwards of $4 million for that one season.
Yeah, I mean, he's making the only thing he didn't obtain by being drafted in the seventh is being an unrestricted free agent and deciding where he wanted to go to compete.
Yeah.
Like, he's virtually making the same amount of money, and the signing bonus could be more as an unrestricted free agent now, as an undrafted free agent, excuse me, because you can compete now in that financial world there. You pay them and bonus them whatever you want. So there's a cap there, but it's much higher. Point being, I just think another bad injury, he's going to be flagged for medical, and that's clearly why he dropped. Because what we had, how many quarterbacks total drafted? I know
there were 13, and he was 13th out of 13.
Been healthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's I think it's a medical flag. I do. And I think it was a history of things that they probably felt like another hit, and he's done. Like, retired.
Okay, so Hutt, I'm going to hit you one more time because I'm asking everybody, because we're going to see it through to the end. Now that now that the book is closed, right? Because we know what the Titans' answer is.
Yes, I'd take the trade, Willie.
You would take the trade. Okay, you would have taken the picks.
Yeah, I heard Kaharsky this morning say the trade started with what it was you flip the first round picks,
right?
You get next year's first round. You get a second round pick this year and next year. That's where it started.
It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer to me. But
I take the trade.
Okay, I mean,
they
trade.
They potentially turn down the number one overall pick in a trade for next year. But we don't know that. But, I mean, the Giants drafted sixth. And prior to that, they drafted, what, third? They had the third and sixth overall pick the last 2 years. The rookie quarterbacks are going to take their lumps, especially – with a roster like that. So yeah, I would have taken the trade.
The Giants first round picks by number. Abdul Carter was third overall. Malik Nabers was sixth overall.
There you go.
Back in 2022, Kayvon Thibodeau was fifth overall. So they've had a top six pick in three of the past 4 years.
And their quarterbacks this year are Jackson Dart, Jameis Winston, and Russell Wilson. That's they're not likely to win a lot. That has to be considered if you're the Titans. But it sounded to me their answer was so adamant that they didn't even play the poker game, right? They were they shut the phones down. They are willingly telling you that. I'm just – that really concerns me.
Joe Shane, the GM in New York, said in his presser after they drafted Abdul Carter, said that the Titans just – you have to have two to tango, and the Titans weren't going to negotiate. This was – like the Titans admitted it was 3 weeks prior to the draft when they decided that they weren't going to trade the pick, and that was around the time I think they canceled the deal with Shadur.
Now what everybody says, and D Mace is in this boat. He says if Cam Ward works out, everything will be okay. But what's the percentage chance that history would tell you that Cam Ward is going to be more valuable than that package of picks? I think. What would the odds makers have on that probability if you did a prop bet for 5 years or something to reevaluate that? I just think the value is just it's too good to pass up.
I agree. I mean, look, I just look at the roster and look at the rebuild and what they're doing, and I take it based on the future value of the picks. I mean, again, you can maneuver and get your quarterback, but you're not going to do anything unless you have that quarterback. What the Titans have told us, Willie, is he's a very good quarterback that they believe, that not just they believe, they are convinced that he is going to be great. That's the bar. Like, I think we have to set that standard based on what they have said. They were convinced 3 weeks prior to the draft and then told the media and the fans, we're not open to negotiating this pick. We're going to stick and pick. I mean, that to me is we're Super Bowl bound with this guy. And
I'm concerned what kind of expectation level. No, I think they look in a roundabout way. That's kind of what they're saying. Let's take another first overall pick, right? Jadeveon Clowney, right? He, yeah, even beyond Cam Ward, way beyond, he was the hands down number one guy. Absolute. If there was a can't miss first overall pick, it was probably him, right? And he hasn't been a bad NFL player. He's been in the league for a long time. He's had some good years, some not so good years. But it's still as much of the expectation level was on him. He's been a little bit underwhelming, right? But my point is that
yes,
even if you were the first pick in the draft, you cannot know that a guy is going to turn into – there's no such thing as a can't miss. There's no such thing of knowing that you've got your franchise quarterback. You can't know.
No, you can't. Mace, chime in if you agree here, because you're on the – it sounds like you're on the Ward side based on what mm-hmm. Willie's saying. Here's where I come down on. I understand why they stayed. I would have taken the trade. Cam Ward comes across as an alpha dog. Like he is. I mean, he's leading yes. workouts on the transfer the first week he's there in Miami after he decides to stay in college. When he gets there, he's leading the players-led workouts. I love that. Like, okay, instead of Clowney, let's compare him to Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is more beta than alpha. Like how he comes across. And there's no doubt Cam Ward's going to enter that locker room for the Titans and be a leader. Like it starts with the mentality. So if you're sitting in the room and you're commanding the room, you get that. I mean, commanding the room with Borgonzi and Brinker and Callahan, I think that comes across as there's one guy leading that interview and it's Cam Ward. That's my sense. And so I get why they're convinced based on the guy. I love everything I've heard from him. Love it. I'm just basing on the player, and I think he's going to be very good, but not great. And I have to, I mean, I'm not going to base that off of one press conference after the Titans pick him. I'm basing it off of what I've believed the entire process. So, but comparing it to Trevor Lawrence, who's hands down the number one overall pick, who's been very good, but not great. I take the trade. I do.
Well, I mean, listen, if you feel that he's the guy and you feel he can lead your franchise, he can be a franchise quarterback, then this league is so predicated on having that guy underneath center.
Yeah,
and you can't even taking the chance that you did this or this draft at bypassing those picks. If you feel you can get them, you got to get them. Because if you don't, there may not be another guy. I know people are looking at next year's draft and they're throwing out Manning and all, but who knows?
Manning's going to stay in school.
Yeah, who knows? Like, then you're going to be stuck in this rut again, and you may not get the number one pick. You just may land in a space where you're winning 7-8 games with a veteran quarterback who's aging, and you would never be in a position to get that guy once again.
I totally agree with you. What we mm-hmm. don't know is what made this decision, I think. What we don't know is, and look, I think this is more about Titans entertainment than football. You have to factor in the stadium. You must. The stadium and the patience of the owner. Those two things are massive, massive decision-making things. Just on top of football. You look at the changes they've made recently and compare it to where they're headed. It's more like you got the WWE is sports entertainers. They're not wrestlers. They're sports entertainers. This is going to be the entertainment show across the river. I just open up, 365, 24/7. And Cam Ward's the guy that they're choosing to lead that charge. And they went quarterback number one overall. And they've got the guy that's, going to set the tone. He's a tone setter, no doubt. But is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback? They want to bring a lot to the stadium, and one of the things is going to be a Super Bowl title. They're telling us that by what they're saying behind that table whenever they're at the press conference. I can't take it anywhere other than that based on what they turned down. We don't know other offers. They did say they had multiple offers. They had said that prior to the draft. So we don't know what else was there. We just know what the third overall team offered because Joe Shane confirmed it.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Wednesday. Hutton, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, always great, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Always a pleasure. Jonathan Hutton on the program. 615-737-1025. And the reason why Jonathan Hutton is one of the best in the business is something he said there flows perfectly into what I wanted to talk about next anyway. I did not set up Jonathan Hutton for that. He did that all by himself. But I think it's a great launching point for what I wanted to bring up next. 615-737-1025. Come catch us at Ascent Buildings, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. They are interviewing and hiring on the spot. Welders, fitters, machine operators, material handlers. If you are looking, this is the place to find it. Again, 214 Fountainhead Road in Portland. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The game.